Our fifth case for argument this morning is Jennings against Sterkle Tony, more likely against AC Hydraulics.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Mr. Nichols.
Please, the court, I represent the appellant and the plaintiff, Pamela Jennings. On September 5th, 2000, while working in Cayuga, Indiana, her husband was killed when an AC hydraulic product slipped and resulted in Mr. Jennings' death. He was working for a company called BGM Equipment out of Indianapolis. The forklift in question was an AC hydraulic product. The issue on review today is whether the AC hydraulic product or whether AC Hydraulics has the necessary contact with Indiana to establish specific jurisdiction in order to satisfy federal due process requirements.
I have a really bottom line question for you, and it's this. I mean, you've argued that AC is making its products available to Indiana residents by maintaining the website, providing information on its products. Does that mean that any company with a website is subject to suit anywhere in the U.S.?
In the world. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Your Honor. No, it does not. I think what we're alleging in this case is that there is specific contacts jurisdiction. And I think you have to look at the fact that they're advertising on the website in connection with the fact that they have made these products available in the state through a distributorship in Florida. Clearly, I don't think there's any evidence that they expected the products to be sold only to Florida companies, and in fact the jack in question was purchased by an Indiana company. I think that if they are going to avail themselves of the market in the United States, that if and when someone is injured using one of their products in the United States, that they subject themselves to the jurisdiction of the court where the injury occurred.
Resisting the motion to dismiss after you saw what their basis was, did you ever argue in the alternative that the court should have transferred the case to court?
We did not at the district court level, but that would be our position today, yes.
Why didn't you ask?
We did not expect the case to be dismissed. Yes. So, mistakenly so, but no, we did not do that. I think that when looking at the Do you have another question?
I do.
Okay.
I was wondering if there was any evidence introduced as to the quantity of jacks sold to the Florida distributors, which might indicate whether the distributors intended to sell just within Florida or nationwide.
No, there was no evidence of that.
Or if there was any...
They did say that 80% of their business was export. And the website was translated from Danish, I guess it would be, to English.
Was there any evidence of such as a listing of states in which they sold products?
I don't believe so, no ma'am.
I mean, like, for instance, how do we know that the floor jack in this case was sold by those distributors to a company in Indiana, for instance, as opposed to being sold to a company in Illinois and then subsequently transported to Indiana? How do we know any of that sort of thing?
I don't think that the record indicates that, and I can only go with what I have in this record, so I can't really answer that question. But I think the fact of the matter is that when you're looking at specific context jurisdiction, you have to look at all the facts. The fact that this company advertised in English on the Internet. The Internet kind of makes this a whole new ballgame out there. The fact that the product was clearly available in the States, that they...
You say a whole new ballgame. Are you saying that a website should be considered, let's say, the same as placing an ad in a state?
Well, again, I would go back to the specific context jurisdiction. I think you need to look at all of the facts in conjunction with one another, not just one isolated fact. And those facts are that they advertised in English on the Internet, that the product was available in the state, They sold via distributorships in the state, and the JAF in the instant case ended up in the hands of BGM, which is an Indiana corporation. Then I think that you look at two other factors, the Honeywell case, which says that a company such as AC Hydraulics can't insulate themselves from the courts by using an intermediary or professing ignorance of the product's ultimate destination, along with the notions of fair play and substantial justice. AC has counsel in Indiana. It sells its profit in Indiana and derives profit from it. Clearly, it's in the business to make a profit. And then the death occurred in Indiana, and I think that the state of Indiana has an interest in the safety of its residents.
Is there anything that you're saying that couldn't equally have been said in Worldwide Volkswagen?
Yes. I think we were dealing with a different situation as far as advertising in Worldwide Volkswagen.
Volkswagen advertised around the world in English? Not on the web, but it certainly advertised around the world and in English.
Well, I understand that, and I still think it's a different situation.
Well, what's the difference that you want to articulate?
The advent of the World Wide Web, it's just a different form of advertising. I think that's one of the differences. I think the other difference is, I frankly don't have any evidence to the contrary, but I think in that case, the people actually purchased the product in New York and then took it to Oklahoma.
That's right. And for all we can tell, that's exactly what happened here. For all we can tell, this product was purchased in Sri Lanka and moved to Indiana. You have no evidence that it was sold in Indiana.
I can't remember if the plaintiffs in the World Wide Web case were actually from Oklahoma, but in this particular case, the company is an Indiana corporation.
What company is an Indiana corporation?
The company
AC Hydraulics.
No, sir. The BGM.
Yes, the employer.
That owned the product.
What does that have to do with suing AC Hydraulics?
Well, again, my point is that in this particular case, I think you have to look at all the factors in conjunction with each other. I think you can't just base it on one isolated fact. And I think that when you weigh everything in this case, that fair play and substantial justice would require that this lawsuit be allowed to be brought in Indiana. I can't think of a better forum unless it would be Florida. If you would play this out to where the defendant would want you to play this out, you couldn't file suit against this company anywhere in the United States, and to me that would not be fair since they are clearly marketing their product in the United States of America. And I see a light on here, so I think I better sit down. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols. Mr. Paul.
Let's just pick up with that last point. Is it your position that no state in the United States would have jurisdiction over AC Hydraulics or Florida would?
Our position is that the plaintiff has to prove where we're subject to jurisdiction, and she hasn't proven that we're subject to jurisdiction.
So then answer my question. Is there any state that would have jurisdiction?
Florida is the most likely place that AC would be subject to jurisdiction in Indiana, simply because AC admits that it distributes its products to that forum. What's critical here, though, is that there's no evidence that those products went from Florida to Indiana via those distributors directly.
I understand that, but why couldn't... we'll pass for a minute that the plaintiff Jenkins never asked to have the case sent to Florida, but assume that they have. Why wouldn't that be the appropriate thing to do here?
In order for a plaintiff to get the benefit of transfer, they have to ask for it. And when one moves to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction, the plaintiff is on notice at that point that jurisdiction is at issue and therefore venue is at issue. So if they want the alternative remedy of transfer, they have to ask for it.
So they waived it.
And they've waived it.
If the better strategy would have been to say, if you're going to grant the motion to dismiss here in Indiana, send it to Florida, and we'll go to Florida and we'll see if we can get the judge there to grant a motion for form nonconvenience and send the case back up to Indiana.
Indeed.
They could have done that, couldn't they?
They could have done that, and in fact, in the Anderson case, which is actually a Northern District of Indiana case, the plaintiff, which they rely on heavily, the plaintiff in the, or one of the parties who was subject to the dismissal motion, said, you know, if you're going to find that this company is not subject to jurisdiction in Indiana, then please transfer it to, I think it was, New Jersey or Maryland. And the court said, we don't think that it's reasonable to subject this defendant to jurisdiction in Indiana, so there's no jurisdiction. However, they do distribute their products to New Jersey, and therefore we're going to transfer the case there, and that's the right thing to do. But in order to get the benefit of transfer, you've got to ask for it. To defeat a motion to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction, one has to do more than surmise a favorable factual situation. In a case like this, a plaintiff has to point to specific evidence beyond the pleadings showing that the defendant expected its products to go to the forum in question, such that it could reasonably anticipate being hailed into a courtroom there. It's not enough that a defendant just puts a product into the stream of commerce. It's not enough that they can foresee their product going to the forum. They have to expect their product is going to go to that forum. And in this case, there's just no such evidence. In fact, there's nothing to suggest on the record that this is anything more than an isolated occurrence.
How would one tell? Are these devices marked by serial numbers that would enable one to tell where it was sold and how it got to Indiana?
There are indeed. In fact, I think in the complaint, there's an allegation that this jack had a particular serial number.
Was there any discovery request served to figure out where the jack with that serial number was sold and to whom?
No, Your Honor. The three pieces of evidence that the plaintiff relies on are the fact that we have two Florida distributors. Indeed, we do. The fact that we have a website. Indeed, we do. And the fact that we represent...
Actually, I can't find your website. Has it been vaporized somehow?
I believe it's still there. I'm not sure why you couldn't find it. There's a printout of the website attached to one of Jennings' affidavits.
Yeah, and that address no longer brings up a website.
I don't know what to say about that, Your Honor. I'm sorry. But as far as I know, there still is a website.
We'll check Google.
Right.
Google actually turns up only a website for an AC Hydraulics in Leicester, England, which has a shop that, according to them, has about 15,000 square feet and installs hydraulics at retail. There's no AC Hydraulics Denmark in Google.
I can assure you that there is indeed an AC Hydraulic AS in Denmark. Perhaps the problem is...
Google might not be worth as much money.
Have you collected your fees yet?
We have indeed.
You don't need the web for that.
And maybe one of the problems there is that the AC Hydraulics is actually misspelled. It's AC Hydraulic, singular, not plural, although it's indicated as such on the pleadings. So we do indeed have a website, and on that website we represent that we sell 80% of our products abroad. There is no evidence in this case that an Indiana company bought the product. They've said that in response to our motion to dismiss in a brief, but they never alleged that, and they never came forward with an affidavit to that effect. And like...
There you are. Found via Google.
And as you picked up, there's no evidence that this particular product was sold into Indiana. The fact that
there's no evidence that the website is in English. You have versions in Danish, French, German, and British.
They printed off an English version.
British.
Oh, British. Oh,
with strange U's in odd places and stuff like that.
Right. After the Florida distributors, there's no evidence that we sold products into Indiana by those distributors. So there's no evidence of prior sales. There's no evidence that we ever transacted business with anybody through the website. There's no evidence that anybody from Indiana even accessed the website, other than Jennings' own counsel. It's a passive informational website. It's there for someone to use should they choose. And the fact that we sell 80% of our products abroad does not indicate or does not raise an inference that we sell any percentage of that in Indiana. This case can be decided based on long arm grounds alone. If the Indiana Supreme Court, who sets our trial rules and therefore trial rule 4.4, which is the long arm statute in Indiana, if they intended for this kind of contact to constitute substantial revenue, they would not have used words like regularly, persistent, and substantial. Whatever marginal revenue that AC may have derived from the use of one jack in Indiana, it's just not enough to meet the substantial revenue test. As to the due process analysis, the evidence that exists no more suggests AC expected its product to go to Indiana than it did to any other state. The problem with Jennings' logic here is that
isn't that precisely the problem, that there's a category of cases where there are sufficient contacts with the United States to litigate in the United States, but it's not clear whether there are sufficient contacts with any particular state? Now, this is a matter of resolving these things. Why shouldn't there then be, one would think, litigation in federal court, kind of like this, and stop worrying about litigation in particular states?
Well, I see your point. The fact is, though, that in worldwide Volkswagen, the
and it's not simply my point. There's actually a provision in the Rules of Civil Procedure for exactly that, which, oddly, neither side has cited.
In worldwide Volkswagen, the Supreme Court made very clear that state lines and concepts of sovereignty are still relevant. And that's why they said a defendant can be subject to jurisdiction if it expected the product to go to the forum in question, not to just the United States, not to Sri Lanka, and then to the United States. You have to particularize the contact to the forum. Is that inconvenient? I suppose it is, in some sense, to the plaintiff, but the fact is due process requires proof of contacts with the forum in question.
Yeah, but I hope you see the problem, and the reason why Rule 4K2, as I think it is, works. The contact in which this litigation is ongoing is the United States District Court. It gets its powers from the sovereign, the United States of America.
Indeed.
And there's no doubt that your client's contacts with the United States of America permit the national sovereign to adjudicate. How much power Indiana might have, one might think, is neither here nor there.
All I can say to that is that it's very clear from the precedents that a federal court does not have jurisdiction unless a court in the state in which that district court sits would have jurisdiction.
This is why it is interesting that neither side has cited or relied on Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 4K2, which alters that rule for a class of cases where there are contacts with the United States but not enough with any particular state.
You're correct. Neither of us did address that.
Of course, if your position is that Florida is amenable to sue the state of Florida, then the federal statute is not
Right. I'm not familiar enough with the statute to argue one way or the other on that. My time's up. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Nichols?
I apologize for not citing 4K2. I wish I had. But
well, actually, it wouldn't help you in the end because it appears to be limited to cases under federal law. But there have actually been a lot of discussions about expanding 4K2 to at least international diversity cases, but it hasn't happened yet. So I find it understandable that the parties haven't talked about 4K2. But I raised it because there's something odd about talking about what is the power of the state of Indiana when it is not the state of Indiana that would be doing the adjudication and entering the judgment.
I understand. Just briefly, by way of explanation, we did not address the Indiana long-arm statute because I do not believe the district court did. When it was raised in the appellee's brief, we did reply on that, and that's been addressed. Really, I think that, and this is really not a legal argument, but I think you need to look at this from a common sense standpoint and look at what AC Hydraulics has done as far as distributing their product in the United States, and then look at what is the best forum for hearing this litigation.
Do you, by the way, agree with Mr. Paul that there was no attempt in discovery to find out provenance of that particular serial number?
I do agree with that.
Okay.
Yes. Our position is that just from a common sense standpoint, that if you can't hear this case in Indiana, where can you hear it? And certainly with the plaintiff being situated here and the thing happening here and the death occurring here, Indiana is the best forum. The federal court in Indiana is the best forum for this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.